Okay, so before we start today's daf, I promised you I would try to look up the makarot on what is this comparison? You know, why is it? Oh yes, Brit Mila, not Brit Mila, Birkat HaMazon. Sorry, Brit Mila is what we're doing. Sure, Birkat HaMazon. Is it three or two, which is really three, or whatever, or three, which is really two, and judging? Oh yes, this makes much sense. What is going on? So I'll just give you. So the Or Sameach basically just says, look, these are both, the point is that both of them are situations in which God is present, right? We say that when you judge, right, you've done din emet lamito, it's, right, it's Elohim nitzav badat el. The judges are in the presence of God. God is part of the judgment process. And that's the point of Zimun, right? We invoke God's name, it's part of the meal. And the point is that in both of these situations, three is the ideal, but you see that God is present still, can be present even in a group of two, right? That's how he takes this. Rav Yisachar Tamar, who is among the most interesting commentators on the Yerushalmi, to really, you know, his books are awesome. Right, we have here three volumes of it, only on Moed. These series of Lumdish and Machshavik essays on Yerushalmi. This is Moed.
He has it on all shelves.
Yes, he had an unbelievable library. An unbelievable library. How do I know? Because his library was donated in full to the Gush Library. So if you go to Gush, in the back of the library, and I, as you can imagine, when I was in Gush, I spent much time in the library, which is why whenever I run into the librarian in Efrat, he's like, we miss you in the library, is the Tamar Library, right? Is his private library, which has like all these unbelievably rare Svarim. So you can go there, you'll see a picture of him and his actual library and understand why these books are so unbelievably good. He was a book collector and a big Talmid Chacham. So he has three mini essays on this point. I won't read all of them to you. Here, I'll read you one. I'll give you just the last one, where he actually just addresses the Dimayon. It says, Nira Dimayon Bazesh, Ken Yeshev Del bin Birkata Mazon Shi Birkata Oda, Birkata Zimon Shi Achlata, Nivarech Shachal Mishalo. V'achrei shehu hachlata reize din. V'toli baze im shnaim shenadu din im din. He has this interesting claim. He says, Birkat HaMazon is just thanks, but the Zimun is like a decision, right? Let us bent, right? You're like asserting something, right? So that's his suggestion. In that sense, it's like a din. Then he has a different suggestion that maybe the point is that no. Maybe the claim is that at some level we deserve to be sustained by God. Right? God feeds the world by justice, right? And therefore there is sort of a judgment going on in heaven, right? When God chooses to give us food. So when we thank for it, we acknowledge sort of that process of justice. He has a few other suggestions, but let's move on to today's daf, because it's going to get weirder, right? So again, all of this tries to make sense of it, but the simple shot is that no, the Gemara is just saying, aha, we don't need things to be connected, we just connect things. So if we just go back to the bottom of yesterday's daf, Ayin Aleph and Beis, in Tamar and the Midnight Zombie Bracha, if you think that we shouldn't learn out Para Aduma from Bracha, God forbid, don't you know that we learn from Hilchot Sukkah and to the halacha of mud in a mikvah? We just, you know, we mix and match. What is it? Kaidenin Taman, this is how it goes. Hirchik min asikuch, and asikuch min advanat shlosha tvachim. Psula. Okay? If you have three tvachim of space between the walls and the schach, it is invalid, because avir, right, air is posel, in three tvachim, right, min atzad, right? Now, Right, so there's two different psulim that we're going to talk about. One is avir, air, and the other is chach pasul. So what's the halacha? So chach pasul is invalid in the middle of the sukkah if there's four tfachim of it. But min atzad, how much do you need to pasul it if it's chach pasul? Four amot. Why four amot? Because of dofen akuma. Because the halacha Moshe Mishnah, we can imagine the wall, right, as twisting in. So if there's schach pasul, well, really this way, right, schach pasul, not empty space, what we imagine is basically that this is not a roof, but it's part of the wall that sort of got, right, that used to be like this, and so we imagine it goes like this. But air, right, empty space is pasul with three tvachim. A barod mikain. But less than three is kasher. Okay? So then the Gemara says, fine. Less than three is kasher, but what does it mean kasher? Does it mean that it makes the sukkah valid? Or is that under that space is a sukkah? Meaning it doesn't invalidate the sukkah, but that space is still not a sukkah. And the Gemara's way of framing that is, mal lishein tachtav, is are you allowed to sleep under it? Right now, why do they say sleep and not eat? So the Mefarshim just suggests because sleeping is more machmir. Right? Sleeping is more machmir. Because you can't even have a shinit arai outside of the sukkah, whereas you could have a snack outside the sukkah. Right? So in theory, you could say, aha, under that, you can't have a meal, but you could snack. Right? Sleeping is much chad v'chalak, because there's no exceptions. Ironically, because people don't sleep in the sukkah and chazars. Hativ Rabbi Yitzchak ben El Yashiv, Hare Tita Narok, Mashlim b'mikvah. So there's this like mud. How do they translate Narok? There we go. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's all it is. Like a liquidy mud, right? Like not a thick mud, like, you know, the.
Okay, it says here in Rashi and Sukkah, mud that is liquid enough to be poured from one vessel.
Yeah, that's what it is, meaning it's liquid mud. It's the stuff that, you know, splashes on you on the, or whatever, on the road or whatever, like liquidy mud. Mashlim b'mikvah, so it, if you're trying to measure the mikvah, is it 40 sa'ah, it counts enough that it brings you to 40 sa'ah. But you can't go in the mikvah in the muddy part itself. So what do you see? There are things that can add to the shear, which themselves are invalid. So the point is that you see that we don't care that things are from completely different disciplines. We mix and match, and it's all
okay.
Good.
That's
great. Yep. Okay. There's more lambdas on the avir thing, but let's just move on, right? And that's why I tend to not be so convinced of these pirushim that there's actually a fundamental connection, because it had left it at one and said, yes, there's a connection between 3-2 of zimun and of judgments. You'd say, okay, they're thematically connected, but now I have to start. But if once you follow that methodology, so now I need to start to think, right, oh, fundamental sukkah. I mean, it's like, okay, like there are certain, you know, yeah, there's certain sort of structural commonalities we have during different laws. That's the point. Okay, anyways. If three people eat and one person wants to leave. Debate Rav Amri Yivarech Bracha Rishona V'Yelechlo. So he has to say the first bracha first, and then he can eat. Okay? Right, so basically, right, he'll stay for the first bracha of benching, and then he's not finished eating. Let's say two people, right, easy case, two people, right, David, Mordechai, and Eitan are eating together. Mordechai and David are finished eating. Eitan is not finished eating, but he needs to go take care of something. So he's not going to bench yet, so he sits for the first bracha, and then he goes, takes care of him, then he'll bench when he finishes eating. So he needs to sit there, you know, for the first bracha.
Does he have to respond?
Yeah, right. So alternatively, we're talking about the opposite case where Eitan wants to leave and you're not finished eating. And he just benches, right? And you stop eating and answer him, right? And then you bench later, right? So those are the two ways that this is understood, right? And basically, it'll count as zimun even though you're actually benching separately because you cover the minimum of zimun, which is bracha rishona, right? That's the Gemara's halachic claim here. So ezi bracha rishona. So what is the first bracha? So debate Rav Amri zu birchat hazimun. It's only nivarech, right? Like that is considered the first bracha. Reb Zeru b'shem Reb Yirmiyah zu hazan et akol. No, it's what we know as the first bracha, like hazan et akol. Amri chelbo barchanan b'shem Rav zu hazan et akol. He also says it is hazan et akol. Now, this is interesting because Zimun, you'd say, okay, that's Zimun, but in what sense is the first bracha, is it like merely part of, right? Like, is it merely part of the Zimun? Like, it sounds like it's part of benching. And how much does it integrate, right, into the Zimun, even though it's part of benching? Now, Rashi has a huge chiddush. Rashi and the Rif has such a chiddush in this Gemara that they think this appears in the Bavli also. They think that according to the Shita that Hazan is part of Zimun, that means that a Yachid who's benching doesn't say the first bracha. Because what you see is that it's conceptually part of Zimun and not of benching. Tosfot denies this. And the Gra, the Tosfot, Rashi, and they say, no, that's not what's going on. It clearly is part of benching and you bench in general. The only question is, in addition, when you're doing Zimun, right, can it somehow be that you've like benched enough, but it's not telling you that it's part of Zimun and not benching. But that's a very fundamental machloket of what is the Shita telling you. So now the Gemara challenges. Hatif Rav Sheshet, Vamanita Pleiga. We have a Mishnah which says, Shnayim O Shlosha. If you have two or three people and they don't know all of the bench, Chayavim V'Birchat HaZimun. Right? So the way we're talking out here is people all know like one bracha, so they split up benching. You say bracha one, you say two, you say three. So if it's two or three people, you can do this, which implies ha'arba'ah, if there were four, lo. You wouldn't be allowed to do this because you can't split up a bracha. But in tema birchat hazimun rishona, nitni arba. But if you think that the bracha of hazan is itself considered a bracha, in theory you could split up benching amongst four people. Nivarech, the first bracha, the second bracha, and the third bracha. Right? Hamatova made this derabanan. So it's considered separate. You can't do that. You can't just split up Hatova Metiv. So you see that it's not considered its own bracha. So Gemara says, no, I have a braita which says arba. Ashkan Tani arba. You're right. It's Machogatanai. We have a different braita that says four. In Tamar, Hazanid Akal Kasha. So the Gemara says, but if you said that the bracha rishon is on that call, you would still only be with three, according to that gerusa, because you'd have, right, Zimun plus Hazan is one, Noda is two, and Yerushalayim is three, and you'd still be at three. So how would you ever get with four if you think that Nivarech plus the first bracha are all considered one, right? So now we ask the question on the opposite side. So the Gemara says, no, because this Shita will then say that what? Hatova Amidiv is Doraita. In Tamar Hatova Amidiv, Lidav Yachal Shnayehi, right? Said you won't be able to say it because it's Darabanan, right? I'm sorry, I'm jumping the gun, right? The Gemara says you can't say that the fourth bracha is Hatova Amidiv because it's only Darabanan, which, by the way, implies that Zimun is Doraita, right? The next Amud, Damar of Chuna, because like the Bavli, where did Hatova Meitiv come from? Mishnitnu Aruge Beit Alekvura, when the rebels in Beitar were finally allowed to be buried years afterwards, right? Fine, whatever. Nikba Hatov Meitiv, Hatov Shlo Nisrchu. We say good because God made it; they didn't, their body didn't rot. Vameitiv Al Shnitnu Lekvura, and God is great because, right, even better because He let them be buried. So you see that it is Dirabanan. So therefore, when you're dividing up the main brachot, that can't be counted because it's dirabanan. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rav Chuna Tiftor Rabbi Shmuel. No, it's like Rabbi Shmuel. The Shmuel Amar Tova may do Dvar Torah. Not everyone agrees with that. Rabbi Shmuel thinks that it is Dvar Torah. How does he get it? Dichtiv. And this is interesting because this drasha, which we hear versions of in the Bavli as well, implies that at some level, not only is the concept of benching Daraita, but at some level, the structure is as well. Again, Zimun also sounds like it's Doraita. Right? Vachal v'zarata, that's Zimun. And Hashem Elokecha, Zu Hazan et Hakol. That is, right, God Hazan et Hakol, because Vachal v'zarata, Hashem Elokecha, is Alarz et Shoshuvesh and Allah, right, God gives us food, Allah Aretz, Zubirkat Aretz, Atov Zubin Yerushalayim, V'chinu Omer, Aretov HaZev V'Alavanon, right, we know Tov is Yerushalayim because sometimes we refer to Yerushalayim like that. Hasher Natan Lecha, that God gave you, Atov HaMeitiv. So according to him, it's Doraita, and therefore even if you were to integrate the Zimun into the first bracha, you would still have four potential brachot, which are Doraita, Zimun, plus what we call bracha 1, bracha 2, bracha 3, and Atov. And again, the amazing thing about this is that the simple pshat here is that according to Yerushalmi, all the brachot and the concept of Zimun is Doraita. Many Rishonim who do not want to buy this obviously take the easy way out, which is Asmachta. Right? Asmachta. But just right, just to know that the simple pshat of Yerushalmi is that, in fact, it is Doraita. Okay. So now this is relevant for the guys in my shir. Katuv mitara bracha lifanav ein katuv. When it comes to Talmud Torah, we have a bracha before, but not after. There's a pasuk. This is bracha before. Now, according to the Ramban, this is Doraita. Bracha Torah is Doraita, and many of the poskim agree with this. Yaruch HaShulchan in Siman Meivav actually argues that the majority view is that Bracha Torah is Doraita. The majority view holds like the Ramban. So what's the pasuk? It has a bracha rishona, but not achrona. Maktiv balefaneha, because the pasuk says kishem Hashem ekra, when I call out in the name of God, havu godel elokeinu. And the drasha is that when I call out in the name of God, meaning I learn Torah, I have to give greatness to God. So ktiv lemazon bracha lacharov, and food the Doraita is birkat hamazon. The ain't tiv lefano, but there's no pasuk telling you have a bracha rishona. Maktiv lacharav. What's the? How do we know you need benching? V'achalda v'savato v'erachta. Uminayin lita in eta amur bazev et amur bazev bazev. Now, how do you know that you take from this to that and from this to that? Now there is a further machloket whether even if it's daraita, whether it's only Birchat Torah, it would only be Doraita like in a communal reading or even in Yachid. That's a further machloket in it. But anyways, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Rav Shmuel Yonan, Ata shame, make a Gzera Shabbat of shame. Right, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra. And Uvarachta Et God. Right, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra. Meaning, sorry, no, not shame. Shem Hashem Ekra. The Hashem Hashem, Gzera Shabbat. Ma Hashem Shenemar B'Torah Brach Lafanav, Av Shem Shenemar B'Mazon Brach Lafanav, Ma Hashem Shenemar B'Mazon Brach Lacharav, Av Shem Shenemar B'Torah Brach Lachareha. There are different shittos on exactly what the Gzera Shava is. The Charedim has a different one, and says that it's going on later. V'chaldav v'savadav v'chaldav v'nashem l'shakein shemo sham. Right? So it's going on that. And it's doing shame and shum. And he's like, it doesn't matter that one is with a tsere and one is with a kamatz and that they don't mean the same thing. It's all the same. Yeah, I know. It's very problematic. But very interestingly, the simple pshat here is that bracha rishona and achrona and bracha torah are both, they're all daraita. The simple pshat in the Yerushalmi is quite extreme, which of course, right in the Bavli, it's very clear bracha rishona is not, or the maskara, it's based on svara, which may have the equivalent of daraita, but doesn't have a pasuk.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, Ad Kidon Rabbi Akiva. Fine, that's Rabbi Akiva. Kari Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan, B'shem Rabbi Shmuel, Kalvachomer. He doesn't need this. He says it's a Kalvachomer. Mam, Bazon Shein Ta'un Bracha Lefanea. If food which does not need a Bracha Rishona, right, again implying that that's not Daraita.
It's a Kalvachomer both ways.
Or if you want to weaken it, the Mara Fulda says, right, because that would imply there is no chiyuv of bracha rishona d'oraita, right, which would imply that even the Yerushalmi, according to this, doesn't think that bracha rishona is d'oraita, like the Bavli. The Mara Fulda says, no, it's not explicitly in a pasuk, which of course leaves the possibility open that everybody in the Yerushalmi thinks bracha rishona is d'oraita. But it's a kavach omer. Ton bracha l'achrav. But it needs a bracha acharona. Torah she tuna bracha lefaneh. Einu din she tuna bracha l'achrav. Ad kedon Torah. So find Torah mazon. Ma im Torah she'enu de bracha l'acharav. If Torah doesn't need a bracha afterwards, or again, doesn't have it beferush, same problem. Tuna bracha lefaneh. Mazon don bracha l'acharav. Einu din she tuna bracha lefaneh. So it's a kavach omer in both directions, right? One is bracha rishona, one is bracha acharona. And then we end up saying, oh, kavach omer in both directions, you need both. Now, what does it mean? It's a bracha achrona on Talmud Torah. So if you think that the only bracha d'oraita of Talmud Torah is in a tzibur, then it makes sense. It's the bracha before and the bracha after. But what if you think that the bracha rishona, what if the bracha is even by a yachid, then what is it? So the achrona have different versions. If you look in the Levush, you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, but they have versions. No, they have versions of saying that our two brachot that we say in the morning, one is really on yesterday's, and one is really on today's. It's a bracha achrona of yesterday, one of today. Why? Because really, the Torah never stops. Right? Again, there are nuances between the Levush and the Aruch HaShulchan. You can look at them. Right? Right. Well, that's the only way it's going to stop. It's like I went to sleep and then I make a bracha achrona yesterday because there's no like firm stop on Talmud Torah. And which do they think is on which? They think Lasok is the bracha rishona because it's future oriented, le, right? And Asher Bachar Banu, that's reflective. So yeah, so this is a discussion on the Aruch HaShulchan and the Levush, which is okay. But if it's a bracha rishona, why do I say the bracha rishona first and the bracha rishona after? Let me finish the daf and maybe I'll read you a line from the Aruch HaShulchan. Reb Yitzchok Reinat and Reb Yitzchok Amar. He brings a different source, Kivara Chazevach, Achring Yochlua Kruim, right from Shmuel, that he'll bless the carbon and then the people who are called will eat. You'll serve God and then he'll bless your bread and your water. When is it called yours? There, this is similar to the idea that it's not yours, right? Ad lo achalta. Before you ate, before you've digested it, that's when you have to call out in the name of God. Rebbe Omer, right? And the way the Rosh has it is because after you've eaten, it's not bread, right? It's, you know, mush in your stomach. Rebbe Omer, mein b'shah she'ochal v'sove sarach levarech, if you're full, it's just like a logic. If when I'm full, I have to make a bracha. B'shah she'utayv le'echol kol she'kein, what, when I need God, right? I don't have to. Now this is the inverse right? This is the inverse of the other svara, you could say, which is no. If I have to make a bracha before kavach chomer, I have to make it when I've actually gotten something from God. But, right? Which way you take the kavach chomer depends on whether you think it's more obvious you have to daven when you need something from God or when you have to thank God, which is two very different conceptions. So ad kedon mazon Torah ma. Close, turn the page. Ma mazon shein ol chayi shah taun bracha lefanav lachrav Torah shi chayi ad lo kol shekein. Where it says, and how do I know that you need it for Torah? Because if food, which is this worldly and is temporary, is ephemeral, you need a bracha. For sure, you need a bracha on things for olam haba. Okay. We'll stop there on the Gemara. Let me see if I'll quickly read you the Aruch HaShulchan. I see Rav Ginsburg is here and he wants to start shir. So let's just do Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch Chaim Mem Vav Sifkat and Gimel Tehei, if I remember correctly. Yeah, there we go. Let's just see. 1 second. Share. Ugh. Okay. You know what? Reb Ginsburg wants to give share. So, look in the Aruch HaShulchan if you want. Or maybe we'll start with it. Well, tomorrow, and I'll read you the Aruch HaShulchan tomorrow. Okay.